Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Leaders Eat Last. Why Some Teams Pull Together and Others Do Not by Simon Sinek is a leadership and organizational culture book that examines why some groups develop trust, loyalty, and cooperation while others become fragmented by fear and self-interest. Building on themes from Start With Why, Sinek shifts attention from purpose to the conditions that allow people to commit to a shared purpose. The book combines business commentary, military examples, social psychology, and accessible biological explanations to argue that leadership is primarily a responsibility to protect and serve people. Its central image comes from the Marine Corps practice, in which senior leaders eat after junior members, symbolizing that authority should be tied to sacrifice rather than privilege. Sinek writes for managers, executives, founders, team leaders, and aspiring leaders who want to understand how workplace culture affects performance, morale, and long-term resilience. I will give you key takeaways from this book. The circle of safety makes internal trust stronger than external pressure. The most recognizable concept in Leaders Eat Last is the circle of safety, Sinek's term for an organizational environment in which people feel protected from internal threats. External pressures such as competitors, market shifts, economic uncertainty, and customer demands cannot be removed, but leaders can shape how people experience pressure inside the organization. When employees fear humiliation, layoffs, hidden agendas, or internal competition, they devote energy to self-protection rather than collaboration. Sinek argues that this weakens problem-solving because people hide mistakes, hoard information, and avoid risk. A strong circle of safety redirects attention outward. Team members can focus on serving customers, improving products, and adapting to change because they do not need to defend themselves against colleagues or managers. The idea is practical because it links culture to resource allocation. Time, attention, and emotional energy are finite. If those resources are spent managing anxiety inside the group, less remains for creative and strategic work. The circle of safety is therefore not merely a pleasant atmosphere. It is a structural condition for cooperation, especially in organizations facing uncertainty or high-stakes decisions. Secondly, leadership is treated as a duty of sacrifice rather than a reward for status. Sinek repeatedly separates leadership from formal rank in his framework. A person becomes a leader not because of a title, office, or compensation level, but because others trust that person to act in their interest when circumstances become difficult. This is why the Marine Corps image matters to the book. Eating last is not about etiquette. It represents the expectation that those with authority accept greater responsibility and personal cost. In many organizations, senior roles bring visible privileges. But Sinek argues that those privileges are justified only when leaders use them to protect the people who carry out the work. This view challenges status-based management, where advancement can become a license to distance oneself from consequences. Sacrificial leadership does not mean ignoring performance, tolerating poor conduct, or avoiding hard decisions. Rather, it means that hard decisions should be made with a credible concern for people, not merely for metrics or personal advantage. The argument is compelling because it reframes trust as something earned through repeated behavior. Employees observe whether leaders share hardship, communicate honestly, and accept accountability. Over time, these signals determine whether authority becomes respected leadership or merely institutional power. Thirdly, biology explains why fear, trust, and belonging affect team behavior. A distinctive feature of Leaders Eat Last is its use of biology to explain workplace behavior in accessible terms. Sinek discusses chemicals such as dopamine, endorphins, serotonin, and oxytocin to show why human beings respond differently to achievement, bonding, recognition, and threat. His treatment is simplified for a general readership, but it serves an important analytical purpose. Organizations are not abstract machines, and employees are not purely rational units responding only to incentives. Dopamine can help explain the appeal of goals, targets, and short-term rewards, while oxytocin and serotonin are used to frame the deeper value of trust, pride, and mutual care. Sinek warns that cultures built almost entirely around short-term performance signals can become chemically and psychologically imbalanced, rewarding constant pursuit while weakening belonging. The biological lens also supports his argument that leadership is not a soft add-on to strategy. Because people are social and threat-sensitive, culture directly shapes attention, memory, risk tolerance, and cooperation. Even if readers treat the science as broad rather than technical, the mechanism is useful. Fear narrows behavior, while trust expands the willingness to contribute, admit problems, and help others. Fourthly, people-first leadership is presented as a long-term performance strategy. Leaders Eat Last does not argue that leaders should choose people instead of performance. Its more precise claim is that caring for people is the foundation of sustainable performance. CINIC criticizes organizations that treat employees primarily as costs, variables, or instruments for quarterly results. In such cultures, numbers can improve temporarily, while trust deteriorates underneath. The long-term risk is that people become disengaged, defensive, or willing to leave when better options appear. By contrast, leaders who prioritize human security can generate loyalty that survives difficult periods. This matters because many forms of organizational value depend on voluntary effort. Innovation, mentoring, ethical judgment, and cross-functional cooperation are hard to command through rules alone. People are more likely to offer them when they believe the organization will not exploit their commitment. CINIC also suggests that a people-first approach improves decision quality. When employees feel safe enough to raise concerns, leaders receive better information before problems become crises. The book, therefore, positions empathy not as sentimentality, but as a discipline that improves organizational intelligence. The central trade-off is between extracting maximum short-term output and building a culture capable of repeated adaptation. Lastly, the book is strongest as a cultural diagnosis, less detailed as an implementation manual. One important way to read Leaders Eat Last is as a diagnosis of unhealthy workplace patterns, rather than as a detailed operational handbook. CINIC is especially effective at naming conditions that many employees recognize: internal rivalry, anxiety created by weak management, excessive focus on numbers, and leaders who enjoy authority without visible responsibility. The book gives managers a vocabulary for discussing those problems and a moral standard for evaluating leadership behavior. However, its limits are also part of its realistic positioning. It relies heavily on stories, illustrative examples, and broad psychological explanations rather than dense empirical analysis or step-by-step change programs. Readers looking for detailed tools for compensation design, conflict resolution, restructuring, or performance management may need additional resources. The value of the book lies in orientation. It helps leaders ask better questions before designing interventions. Do people feel safe enough to speak honestly? Are incentives encouraging cooperation or internal competition? Do senior leaders absorb hardship or pass it downward? These questions do not solve every management problem, but they clarify the cultural assumptions behind many practical decisions. That makes the book useful as a starting point for leadership reflection and organizational reform. In conclusion, Leaders Eat Last is best suited for managers, executives, founders, military and public sector leaders, coaches, and professionals preparing for leadership roles. It is also useful for employees who want language for understanding why some workplaces feel cooperative while others feel politically unsafe. The practical benefit is not a checklist, but a framework for evaluating whether leadership behavior creates trust or fear. Readers can use its ideas to reconsider meeting norms, incentive systems, communication practices, promotion standards, and the way leaders respond when results are under pressure. Intellectually, the book stands out because it links leadership ethics with group behavior and accessible biology, making the case that culture is not separate from performance. Compared with many business books that emphasize charisma, strategy, productivity, or personal influence, CINIC focuses on the protective role of leaders and the conditions that allow ordinary people to work together with unusual commitment. Its weakness is that some arguments are simplified, and its evidence is often anecdotal, so readers should not treat it as a complete science of organizations. Its strength is the clarity of its central standard: leadership earns legitimacy when authority is used to care for people before protecting status, comfort, or short-term numbers. If you would like to support Simon CINIC, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.